Welcome to Shofar Cape Town South. We trust that today's message will edify and strengthen your faith.
Let's pray together before we start. Lord, I am so excited through all of this to spend time in your word, to read the scriptures that you breathed, Lord, that you gave life, that you are bringing and about to bring to life in us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for every part, everything that you're going to reveal to us in the few moments that's coming now. And we just open our hearts. We just allow you, Holy Spirit, to work in us and to reveal in us and to reveal through us. In Jesus' name. Amen. The topic for today is obey my voice. And it's been so frequently mentioned this morning. What is God saying? What do we hear Him say? What is He busy stirring in us? What would I like to hear that I'm not busy hearing? What is He saying? So we're going to go far back in Scripture. We're going to go to Genesis 27. I think this is the first time ever that I've spoken about God's voice and referred to Genesis 27. So, but we'll get to unpacking that now. I actually asked my wife yesterday, so just for interest's sake, how many verses do you think is too much for a service? Because I was so close to reading the whole chapter, and then in a very kind way, she said no. She didn't really say no. She said it very much nicer than that, but it was still no. So I had to narrow it down, and I just wanna warn you that there's so many things that you can take out of this portion of Scripture, but obviously we're going to focus on something specific this morning. So I'm not going to read all of the verses, but I would like to give you a short rundown of what happens, because it's going to make sense. And it's going to have an influence when we start reading. So just as an overview, in verse 1 to 4, we see Isaac's eyes are dim. And he could not see. That's why he called Esau to tell him, go hunt game, bring it back so I can bless you. Couldn't see. Someone's Bible fell. In verses 5 to 10, we see Rebekah listening to what he's busy saying. And she makes a plan, and she organized with Jacob to go do a few things. She had to go get some goat, which is just weird. I don't know how you make goat to taste like, right? So she was very skillful. Verses 11 to 14, Jacob kind of protests, but also not. Like, he says, I'm a lot more smooth. And then, just before you think he has funny jokes and whatever, you see now it's because his brother is hairy. And that was a big problem to him. And one thing that was very important that he mentioned was, let's not do this because I'm scared that my father is going to curse me instead of bless me. The moment he finds out who I am, he's going to curse me and not bless me. So this whole plan might backfire soon. And then in verse 15, Rebecca gets him to do that. He puts the garments of Esau on Jacob. She took the skins of the young goats, put it on his neck, and she put the food in his hands, and she told him to go. Now we're going to start reading from verse 18, but before we do this, I want you to for a moment picture Isaac not being able to see well enough to know who's coming to him. And then at the same time, this whole plot that's busy being planned and then now on the verge of being implemented. Verse 18 says, so he went into his father, that's Jacob, and said, my father, and he said, that's now Isaac, here I am. Can you see? You can go to the next slide. Thank you, Antonio. And he said, here I am. And immediately Isaac said, "Who are you, my son?" Something that Jacob feared. "Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, after that, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him and he ate. And he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near me and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him. So you can read the whole blessing there from verse 28, if you want to afterwards. But as I read through this, something, I don't know whether it happens to you as well, but as I read through scripture sometimes, it's as if I aim to read through a chapter, but then at some stage, I really feel God like almost telling me, "Read that again." And then I read it again, and then I feel like, okay, I still have a few verses left, and he says, "Okay, go read it again." And then after the four or five times when I read the same portion of scripture, God made me focus on some of the specific questions and some of the specific answers. And I want us to quickly look at that before we get to the main point today. When Jacob enters the room, he says, "My father," and Isaac says, "Here I am." So he introduces himself. The second question he asked was, "Who are you? Who are you, my son? I'm Esau, your firstborn. How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" Isaac said, "Because the Lord your God granted me success. Please come near that I may feel you." So there was a lot of tests, a lot of questions, a lot of uncertainty, and you can kind of sense it as Isaac cannot see clearly. But then in one of those verses you read, actually he takes the courage and he says, "Everything I see and feel and smell convinces me otherwise, but your voice is not the voice of Esau." And when I read that scripture a few times, something started stirring within me, because it was twice that it was mentioned. Rebecca first told Jacob, "Just obey my voice and go do what I tell you to do. Just obey my voice and go tell what I told you to do." And the second time is when Isaac said, "I can feel and I can smell and I can taste the game," which is still mind-blowing how you make game go taste like game. But in any case, something was not right, and the only thing he had to go on was a voice. Although there were many things, and that stood out for me so much, because when I started thinking about this, I started thinking about the craftiness and the cunning way of how they plotted against Isaac to get him to bless Jacob. And the moment that I started thinking about that, I saw the different things that he used. For example, the goat instead of game. Now, I mean, that must have been a very crafty preparation. It wasn't like you cooked it the same way, used the same spices, and then eventually it came to be and tasted the same. It was very crafty. It sounds like someone I also read in scripture about, that's constantly plotting against the church, constantly plotting against people maturing in Jesus, constantly driving an agenda against what God is busy with. Very crafty, very cunning, a cunning way of lying and convincing us that there are certain things we should not repent of, need not repent of, need not lay down, need not take up, need not respond to, need not be obedient to. And the moment something starts stirring within us, we hear a voice, and I was sitting here feeling, take off your shoes, and I was like, Lord, normally that happens when some big Christian stands and feels I'm on holy ground and whatever, and I just sense in my heart God tell me, take off your shoes, and I eventually when I took off my shoes, I was like, you are doing exactly what you are going to speak about, so please listen to the sermon today. And that's very important that you notice. When I speak about this today, it's not something that I speak about, something that I have figured out. It's something that we will all have to keep each other accountable to and to share with each other often. Because it happens in an instance where we miss it. While we earnestly pray to hear God's voice, oftentimes when we hear Him speak, there's a lag in obedience. I once read a statement of someone saying, we are taught far above our level of obedience. So there's a lot of very wise things we can quote, a lot of wise things we can tell each other, a lot of awesome stories we can tell each other, but the moment God says, take off your shoes, then there's a hesitancy. The moment He says, do not go sit on that chair, go sit on that chair, then we hesitate. Even to the point of saying, Lord, but I need two chairs and there's only one and I need one for my wife or one for my husband or whatever. And we start to do exactly this. The second thing that happened there was he asked Jacob, how did this happen so quickly? How did you get this right so quickly? You were supposed to go to the field. You were supposed to hunt. Then you were supposed to prepare it. Then you were supposed to come back. How often do the enemy catch us in some forms of instant gratification? Some things that we prayed for, some things that we were hoping for, some things that we can clearly feel is not God, but because it brings a form of instant gratification, we feel I can submit to this and I can respond to this, even though it clashes with the word of God that He gave from the beginning. He placed a goat skin over Himself so that Isaac could not identify Him. In a similar way, the enemy act as an angel of light. Even in some spaces, using proclaimed Christians, bringing a word in very sensitive times that's not from Him. And because that specific person has a certain look, maybe you know the person, maybe it's someone that you actually know, someone that misses God, you know it's not the truth, but you still, because it's someone that's saying it and Jesus' name is in the sentence, we feel, I can submit to this. And in that way, the church are in so many times being misled, confused, torn apart, hurt, broken, cast down. And oftentimes people would say, but that guy prays. I saw that guy at intercession. I saw that guy worshiping. None of us are perfect. And normally we would hear a voice from God saying, this is me speaking, and then we go test it in different ways. So then Isaac says to him, finally, come closer. And this to me made me feel as if there's those times where we feel, let's take this coffee somewhere more private and let's discuss this further. Let there be a bit more intimacy in terms of discussion, figuring this out, fellowship or whatever. And even in those moments, while trying to figure this out, we know this does not align with what God said. It's separate from what He said. But still, there's crafty ways of the enemy to deceive us. In John 10, verse 1 to 5, we read, truly, truly, I say to you, He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. By name, you will know it's him. He leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. In verse 5, very interesting. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. I have, as I read through this, I was kind of overwhelmed for a moment, because we can see the crafty way of the enemy deceiving so actively and so skillfully. So close to truth that we often actually kind of feel it was God. But it wasn't. And just before I felt overwhelmed, I just read that scripture in John 10 again, and I just heard, I will call you by your name, and you will know my voice, and you will follow me out. And after that, as I walk and as I take you out, you will follow me because you will know my voice. And that made me think, Lord, am I sure that I hear your voice? Or are there things in my life that I know you said to do? Or are there certain things that you told me not to do? Or are there certain things that I kind of used other ways of trying to figure out whether it's you or whether not? It would be very important today to kind of ask ourselves a few questions. And the first most important one is, have I heard the voice of Jesus calling me by name? To start speaking about how I should act, what I should do, what direction I should go, makes no sense if I have not heard the voice of Jesus calling my name. And if you are sitting here today and you're feeling, I've been to so many churches so often, hearing so many wise and awesome stuff, but never have I heard the voice of Jesus saying my name, there should be a date and time in your life where you say, Jesus, I need to hear you say my name. There's something in a connection with Jesus that changes your life forever. You hear your name being said, and in that, immediately something in you changes. And all of a sudden, the other voices sound different. Where there are often many voices we hear trying to distinguish who's who, when we hear the voice of Jesus saying our names, we know when he's speaking. Please do not rush past this. You need to hear him say your name. The second question I'd like us to just pray through is, for me that heard my name being said by Jesus, am I following as he leads? There was a time when he said my name, but there's been so many things happening in between, and there was so many deception, there were so many lies, there were so many things that I submitted myself to, so many times that I was disobedient, sometimes thought that I was obeying God, but now that I think of it, there's no life in it. Cannot be the same one speaking than the one who called my name. There should be a time where we repent and say, Lord, I'm laying down what I've done to now. I want to follow you again. And if necessary, ask him to say your name again. If you are unsure when Jesus is speaking, ask him to say your name again. The last thing I want us to pray and chat through is, when I am unsure whose voice I'm hearing, who do I test it with? Now that's a whole topic and discussion on its own, but it should be possible for us as a family to say, there's something I heard Jesus say, but I really need to test it. I really need to measure this because this is kind of a big step. This is kind of a big thing that I hear God say. There should be some spirit-filled believer close to you that you entrust as a family member that is willing to pray with you. So I'm going to ask, well, not Stefan, someone. No, I'm joking. I sorry. I want us to take a moment, and maybe it's good to just sit in silence for a moment and just say, Jesus, I did not hear you say my name. I kind of tried this Christian life. You know what? There's a name for that. Behavioral modification. We are full of it. When you don't hear God's voice, you act as if you do. Just say the right things. Just use the right sentences. Just do the right stuff. Just lay your hands on people when they say pray. You don't have to pray with. You just kind of, just do it. Just, you know, just go to church. It's the right thing to do. Just go to small group. It's the right thing to do. Am I hearing His voice speaking, or am I simply through discipline forcing myself to do Christian-like things? It should be evident when someone says, Jesus said, that it's really Him speaking. If it's not, it was not Him speaking. And we need to be very careful, and we need to keep each other accountable for that. And I will need you for that. There's not a superior and an inferior person, someone always hearing and someone never hearing. There's always kind of in between where we have this intent of following Jesus, but we need each other. We need to be able to test against each other. Was this God or was this not? So let's just for a moment close our eyes. And Lord Jesus, understanding where we are today, where we are sitting in the heart of the people that you called us to, we are not assuming today that we are following the true Jesus. Lord, we need you to say our names. I'm just going to give a few moments while our eyes are closed. Just ask yourself a few honest questions. Did I hear the voice of Jesus calling my name? Did I surrender to Jesus? Or did I learn a certain terminology and I'm just saying the right things? Did I meet Jesus and am I transformed and renewed by Him? Maybe you are sitting here this morning like me, thinking, Lord, I heard your voice. Jesus, I know what it sounds like, Lord, but I'm sometimes just so disobedient. And in fact, Lord, as we sit here this morning, I pray that you would show us what we can repent of as a family this morning. If you are sitting there and there's certain things that pops in your mind, that pops up in your heart, just take the moment now. Just lay it down and repent. It's as simple as, Lord, you are showing me how complacent I've become in being obedient to you, that when you tell me to take off my shoes, I don't immediately. And I just want to come before you this morning, and I just want to repent of that, and I just want to ask your forgiveness, Jesus, that even when I hear your voice, I don't respond hastily. Also, thank you this morning for your forgiveness. Thank you for what you've done, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're busy with in each one of our hearts. Lord, as a family, we just pray that when we need someone to test against what we hear and what we perceive as you speaking, Lord, give us those opportunities where we can protect each other. Protect each other well. Love each other well. We just absolutely surrender to you, Jesus. Father, we just surrender to you. Holy Spirit, we just surrender to you. Thank you. Thank you for what you're busy with. While our eyes are closed, is it okay if I ask some of the small group leaders, just stand up there where you are. If there's some of you that you can stand up, some of the small group leaders, elders that's here, if you can stand up for us, yes. If you need some prayer, please turn to a small group leader. Small group leader, if you need some prayer, turn to someone. If you're comfortable to pray with the person that's next to you and there was something that God specifically told you that you would like to pray through, just take this moment. If it's your husband or your wife, just take a moment. If you're uncomfortable to pray with the person next to you, maybe you don't know them that well, you're welcome to come to one of us. We'll be here. There's some elders there at the back. Let's just take a moment and respond well.